This is one of my favorite people of all time. I love this guy. He is a four-time Super Bowl champion. He started a business, a nutrition company. At first, everyone thought he was crazy. Then he started blowing up. Bill Romanowski.
The Sports Grid Network. The morning after.
Usually when it comes to gambling, we make our picks daily and then we move on. And then we find out that night whether we were right or wrong. And then we wake up the next day and we do it again. I know in the NFL, you do get those week-long gaps, but usually you get a Monday night game and a Thursday night game. We spend the entire week handicapping a game, and then Super Bowl, you get 2 weeks.
The Sports Grid Network. Game time decisions.
Okay, so we should say, too, the bets aren't what teams that they go to. It's what position they get drafted. I think the Redskins are going to take Chase Young. It's now 16 to 1. You got to lay $16 to win a dollar until you get a Coke.
Exactly.
How much is a milkshake at McDonald's? Probably about $3, right? So in other words, you got to bet $39 to get a milkshake. Not worth it. I'd rather put my money elsewhere.
The Sports Grid Network.
Line up, Leonard!
The Early Line.
I know Vegas is a team that is playing in the wide receiver market, right? Whether it's drafting, they want a wide receiver one. Could they or another team be in the market for Odell? Do you think Odell is long for Cleveland this year?
Odell should still be a thing. I think the talent that had him comfortably recognized as one of the five best wide receivers in football is still there.
The Sports Grid Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Ricky Sanders and Christopher Pacheco as we begin our exploration of the 2020 NFL Draft. This is most of our content this week is going to be about the 2020 NFL Draft. We're going to do some grades. We're going to look at how, you know, the first round went, second, third round, all of that. But today we thought that since so much of the content on our show has been about Dynasty Fantasy Football and thinking about rookie drafts, and we had done a mock draft before the beginning of the 2020 NFL draft, we thought that we would go ahead and run through a mock draft after the draft, now that we know where all of these players went. Ricky, I gotta say, the 2020 NFL draft went about as bad for my dynasty teams as it could, given that the Kansas City Chiefs selected Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the first pick of the 2020 NFL draft. So not particularly great for me. How did it go for your teams?
Well, in our leagues, it didn't go so bad, to be honest. I mean, I took some backs that I thought had a clear path to being the guy in 2020, and most of the backs that I selected across the two leagues, like, I think I was higher on running backs than the room, while, you know, people were taking early quarterbacks for the most part. I took some young running backs, and it just shaped out nicely because a lot of people who took, you know, shots on the back end guys like Mark Ingram, Damian Williams, Kerryon Johnson, etc., they got hammered, while, you know, I figured knowing the Bears that with, you know, no picks until like the 60s, they weren't taken aback with what few picks they had. Even guys like David Johnson, I took some of the older guys, Miles Sanders. I didn't get too hammered when it came to this draft. I was pretty happy. It was just the fact that I drafted older in most of these leagues, so I was already a little bit behind. But in terms of like the guys I took, I think they pretty much held strong with value. So I was happy about that.
What about you, Pacheco? How did your teams weather the 2020 NFL draft?
Well, I would say mostly fine. I do have some shares of Mark Ingram, so the J.K. Dobbins addition does scare me a little bit. But you know, honestly, Mark Ingram is probably not going to be with the Ravens, you know, for the foreseeable future, given this addition of Dobbins. So maybe the next couple of years while he's in contract, and then after that, they're probably going to go cheap at that position. And I kind of knew that, so that one's not too big of a deal. I do have Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott. I'm heavily invested in the Dallas Cowboys offense. So the CeeDee Lamb addition, as much as I like it, it does pose a threat to some of those pass catchers' volume potential for this season and beyond that. But outside of that, I feel like I weathered the storm for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, weathering the storm has to feel good. It's just, you know, it is crazy. So many running backs lost value in the draft. Like, you know, anyone who's holding on to Ronald Jones, Kerryon Johnson, Daryl Henderson, you know, Damian Williams, obviously completely cratered in value. And then even, you know, some sleeper guys like Justice Hill that people were holding on to, you know, those guys really did, you know, they really took a kick in the pants, Ricky.
Yeah, that's why I was a little bit more aggressive with drafting running backs, knowing they have a limited lifespan. I wanted the guys whose lifespan I felt good about, as opposed to the ones that I thought were a bit rocky. So in that sense, it worked out for me. We'll see how, you know, the rest of my supporting cast do in these drafts. But from a from a running back perspective, I feel good.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and get into this mock rookie draft. I am going to select first. Ricky is going to select second. And then Pacheco is going to go third. We're not going to snake it. We are just going to continue to go back in those orders. So I am going to select first here. And I don't really think that there is much of a debate for who goes first. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is very clearly going to be the guy that you want to take with your first overall selection in 2020 drafts. I think that goes for Superflex, which I guess that we should communicate. This is going to be a Superflex Dynasty rookie mock draft. So that means that in these leagues, you're able to start two quarterbacks. So that's going to change the value of Joe Burrow, change the value a little bit of Tua, change the value a little bit of Jalen Hurts and some guys like that. So first off, I'm going Clyde Edwards-Helaire. His entire career, he is going to be attached to Patrick Mahomes. Large chunk of his career probably will be attached to Andy Reid. You know, Andy Reid probably won't stay in Kansas City forever, but it's possible, you know, that Andy Reid will be there with them for a long time. So, you know, I see maybe an argument for Jonathan Taylor here. Don't really see much of an argument for Joe Burrow. I think that, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire very likely to be a top 10 running back, you know, more or less, I think, every season of his career. Maybe this first season he gets replaced a little bit by Damian Williams or whatever, but I feel pretty confident, Ricky, that, you know, here Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the right selection.
Yeah, I mean, I would be taking Edwards-Helaire with the first pick, but I disagree with you that there's not a case to be made for Burrow at pick two, or even at pick one in a Superflex league, because we saw in a bunch of our drafts, especially the auction, the young dynamic quarterbacks went for a lot of money. Like, the running backs went for cheaper because I think sharp people knew that if you're building a base for Dynasty, you really want a player who you could count on having for about 10-plus years. And when it comes to, like, a young franchise quarterback, that's as reliable as it comes. So we saw Dak Prescott, you know, approach $50 in our auction out of 300. We saw Kyler Murray go for over 50. We saw Lamar Jackson in the 70s. We saw Patrick Mahomes for 80. So in a league like this, where there's such turnover at the running back position, I think Jonathan Taylor in leagues where it wasn't super flex would be the obvious number two here. But in super flex leagues where you can build around a quarterback and have multiple quarterbacks for years and years and years, even though the Bengals didn't spring and take a tackle until later in the draft along with Burrow, I mean, we saw his skills at LSU. A guy who was a transfer, but over 60 touchdowns, a guy who has rushing upside along with it. So you maybe could get, you know, some prime Aaron Rodgers looking years from Joe Burrow at just 23 years old, which is honestly, it's older than Tua. But because of the stability of, you know, his health comparatively to Tua, I think Burrow's a fine number one pick. I would be taking Edwards-Helaire, but since I have the two, I feel good about taking Burrow over Jonathan Taylor, especially because I've seen how I've drafted in these leagues. I haven't gone as high on my QB1. I think this is a nice, relatively cheap way to get, you know, access to a young stud quarterback.
So we go back here to pick number three, and I actually think a lot of rookie drafts are going to start like this. Maybe not necessarily with the number two person needing a quarterback, but it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of people trade up to number two or number three to get Joe Burrow, right? Because Burrow is clearly the top quarterback in this class, clearly a guy who's going to be expected to score a lot of fantasy points for a long time. So Pacheco, I actually think you could argue that being in the third position in these rookie drafts is actually likely the best position in terms of the value, because you're probably going to get one of Jonathan Taylor or Clyde Edwards-Helaire in super flex leagues. In non-super flex leagues, you're going to get one of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, or CeeDee Lamb. You are up for pick number three. Who are you selecting here?
So I feel like I really don't have much of a choice. I have to select Jonathan Taylor, who went to the Indianapolis Colts, who have Marlon Mack on their roster. But Mack hasn't really been anything special at the NFL level. He's had some nice highlights, but as far as production is concerned, he hasn't really broken through, per se. Given where they drafted Jonathan Taylor and the fact that they traded up to select Jonathan Taylor in the draft. He's 21 years old, carries incredible college production, has incredible athleticism as well. I feel very good about selecting him here at number three. You could argue he could go as high as number two in this draft. So at number three, I feel really good about Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, you know, just a great landing spot for Jonathan Taylor to go to. And I don't think people think of it that way because, you know, Rivers is probably not going to be great. They don't have a long-term plan, but the offensive line is great. You know, Marlon Mack has gotten a ton of touches when he has been the lead back. Yeah. I guess you could say a possible wrinkle with what is going to happen for him is going to be, maybe they just don't score that many points, or maybe they use Nyheim Hines too much on passing downs. Like, I think a legitimate worry you can have with Jonathan Taylor is that he doesn't ever evolve into that pass-catching running back that you really need to be, you know, elite at the next level. You know, to be an elite fantasy football running back, you got to catch 30, 40, 50 passes a year. So right. I think maybe that's Jonathan Taylor's third season. I don't know if we're going to see a ton of that in his first two seasons. And I have no questions about that for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which is why he is, you know, clearly the 101 to me in pretty much any format. We are now headed to pick number four. I am going to be selecting CeeDee Lamb with this selection. I think that in any format, he is going to be the guy who goes directly after those top two running backs. Well, at least should. I don't know if that's how ADP is going to shake out. Some people might like Ruggs a ton. Some people might like the landing spot for Judy. I think Lamb is so clearly the best wide receiver in this class, even if you thought he, Ruggs, and Judy were close as prospects. So he now is going to land in a spot where he's got a good quarterback. You know, we know Dak can make multiple guys have great fantasy weeks. You know, Zeke and Amari and Gallup and Jason Witten and Randall Cobb, you know, all of those guys had weeks where they were, you know, they were all having decent fantasy point weeks. And then I think, you know, a really interesting aspect of them drafting CeeDee Lamb with the 17th overall pick is they can actually get out of the Amari Cooper contract after 2022 with not really much of, it's not going to be hard for them to get out of paying Amari Cooper money. And that is, that basically means that their long-term plan is probably for Lamb and Gallup to be their primary outside wide receiver. So, Ricky, I think Lamb here at 104, I mean, to me, just seems like a total steal.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about dynasty leagues where you get that long-term value from him playing with Dak Prescott, just being a talented wide receiver, potentially the most complete receiver in the entire draft. I think CeeDee Lamb at number four is an easy one. Five is honestly where it starts to get difficult.
Get hard. Yeah, I agree.
I see those top four as the top four I would be taking in basically any scenario. And I know I was the QB guy with pick two. I'm not going to go that route here because we have voiced our concerns with Tua. That hip, apparently the Dolphins, you know, took the shot, which I think they should, knowing the upside there. But there is legitimate downside with Tua that there just isn't with Joe Burrow, in that he could take one hit to that hip that we already know has caused other players issues, and he could be done. And for that reason, I'm willing to pass on him at five, because I think there's another guy who kind of found himself in a bit of a home run spot, and that's J.K. Dobbins. I know we talked about you know, how we were scared of his pass protection, but what better place to go than to the Ravens, where Lamar Jackson's running is basically his own pass protection, right? Basically, they can use the play action with a guy like J.K. Dobbins as, you know, as a replacement for Dobbins' pass blocking, because then you can get Lamar Jackson out on the edge, and you basically negate J.K. Dobbins' weakness. And when it comes to Mark Ingram, like you mentioned, they could get out of Amari Cooper's contract. There's only a $1.3 million cap hit in 2021. This year, it would be over $3 million. They're not doing that. But also the good thing about Mark Ingram, like even if he remains throughout the course of his contract, he played 46% of the offensive snaps last year. So there is room for other backs to get in there. We saw it with Justice Hill. We saw it with Gus Edwards. I wouldn't be surprised if J.K. Dobbins is up there close to like 40% of the snap share. You mentioned it hurt Justice Hill. I think it's basically a Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins show moving forward. And in this dominant offense where there's so many looks they can give you and so many ways they can fake you out, like Lamar Jackson's running, that's going to clear running space. I think Dobbins, to me, is the guy here.
All right, Pacheco, you are now going to be up with the number six selection. We have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Burrow, Jonathan Taylor, CeeDee Lamb, J.K. Dobbins off the board. I agree with Ricky that after those first four, you know, I could see the order. I could see like 10 guys, basically. I could see an argument for Keyshawn Vaughn. I could see an argument for Tua. I could see an argument for Judy, for Ruggs. Like, I think at this point, there's just a large group of guys. So you are here up at number six. Ricky took Dobbins as the first of that kind of second tier of guys. Where are you looking at here?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement with that. After you get outside of the top four guys, things start to get really murky. And you could argue really outside of the top three, because as much as I love CeeDee Lamb, you could also, you know, make yourself draft other guys in that spot. I think
Lamb is probably not going to score that many fantasy points as a rookie in Dallas. Like, it will probably be, it will be hard, I would guess, to consistently rely on him as a starter in year one. That's probably true.
Yeah. I think if you're looking for like immediate production, Keyshawn Vaughn makes a lot of sense. I already selected Jonathan Taylor at number three. I think, you know, my guy here is probably going to be Tua, as much as I like Vaughn landing in Tampa Bay. You know, here are the Dolphins selecting him in the top five picks after everyone was freaking out about his medicals. And ultimately, it's just Burrow is the very clear number one in this draft. If Tua was healthy, he would also be a very clear, like, either 1B or 2 guy.
I mean, the Bengals might have taken Tua instead. You know, had Tua not gotten injured at Alabama, you know, been able to play out the rest of the season, played super well, you know, pretty much every time Tua was on the field at Alabama, he was fantastic. It is not unreasonable that the Dolphins would have or that the Bengals would have selected Tua instead had everything else been equal. And you know, health is really the only knock on Tua, basically. And if you even wanted to argue further, Tua is going to run more in the NFL than Burrow will and offer a little bit more ceiling in that regard.
Yeah, he's more of a scrambler type instead of like you're designing running routes for him.
Right.
But I think, you know, if he's healthy, and obviously, look, that's a big if, right? It's a hip injury. This is a really meaningful injury, so I don't want to downplay that. But ultimately, they drafted him to be the starting quarterback for this franchise moving forward. And I feel really good about that. And I'm hoping that he's healthy, because if he is, he's going to be one of the more productive quarterbacks, as far as fantasy football is concerned.
Yeah. All right, so we are running through a Superflex Dynasty Fantasy Football rookie draft here on the Daily Roto Hour. We have made six selections, so we are going methodically through our Dynasty draft here. Through six picks, we have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Joe Burrow, Jonathan Taylor, CeeDee Lamb, J.K. Dobbins, and Tua. I think that this represents, you know, a pretty realistic look at the way that some of these rookie drafts are going. I know many of us are involved in multiple rookie drafts, you know, just across all of the various leagues that we are in. You know, and these are the picks, you know, hitting on one of these picks, you know, deciding between Tua and Dobbins, deciding between Akers and DeAndre Swift.
these are really the selections that can shape how your fantasy leagues go for the next couple of years, because missing on one of these picks is so brutal. So we are going to go ahead and head to break real quick. We will be back in just a few moments on the Daily Roto Hour on Sports Grid TV.
Game time decisions.
Bro. Remember, like, Tom Brady didn't talk forever?
Oh, I know.
And then right before the Super Bowl, he did that stupid commercial or the picture he posted where he was in the tunnel. You know, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean.
Then he says the whole time after, I knew I was leaving before the year even started. And then right before this, Gronk comes back. It's like they can't handle people not talking about him. And just so quickly, Gronk is back.
The Sports Grid Network. The morning after.
5-3-6. Lions, Giants, Dolphins, Chargers. Those four picks will drastically change the way with every passing pick, and we get one of these guys that's like, wow, I can't believe this guy went there. It will completely twist and turn the next pick, which will then in turn twist the next pick. It's going to be a wild ride.
The Sports Grid Network. Pharrell.
Coast to coast!
The game that you love is violent. And the more violent I was, the more I was cheered. I used my helmet as a weapon. I wanted to knock people out. I wanted to hurt them. And if I could get them out of the game, I knew that gave our team a better chance to win. And all I wanted to do was win Super Bowls.
The Sports Grid Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
All the Joes get together, we're in a club, and whenever you need an extra one of us, you just pluck us out of the Joe bag, and we come and make everything right here and show up and do a good job. And it's funny, Craig Mish, I feel like, I don't know, like I'm your ex-girlfriend stalker here. No matter how many times you try to get rid of me, no matter how many networks we've been on over the years, you just can't shake me. I'm like the Janus to your Chandler Bing, and I'm just going to haunt you in your dreams for the rest of your life.
The Sports Grid Network.
Here on the Daily Roto Hour on Sports Grid, I'm Davis Matt, joined by Ricky Sanders and Christopher Pacheco, as we continue to run through a Dynasty Fantasy Football Superflex Rookie Mock Draft. Six picks off the board: Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Joe Burrow, Jonathan Taylor, CeeDee Lamb, J.K. Dobbins, and Tua. I am now up on the board with the seventh pick of the first round, and I think I just have to take Jerry Jeudy. I actually don't love the landing spot for Jeudy. This is it is going to be a conservative offense until Drew Lock is able to prove that he is as good as the GM thinks he is, right? So, like, John Elway loads up with Jerry Jeudy. He takes another tight end in Albert O. He takes KJ Hamler. They did everything they could to support Drew Lock in this draft. I think Jerry Jeudy is, you know, a great wide receiver prospect. I think that he projects to do very well in the NFL. I would not be all that surprised, however, if what we see is a pretty conservative offense and Jerry Jeudy maybe doesn't top 90 targets for 3 years, right? Like, and that's crazy, but it just might be a volume situation. So it's not necessarily Judy's fault. I do not blame anyone for going any of the running backs. Like, if Akers went here, if Swift went here, I think all of that would be really justifiable, because yes, you want to get great long-term assets, but we're starting to get into the range where if you're picking at 7, 8, 9, 10, you probably were a playoff team the year before. Your team is probably decent. You probably think that you have a chance to win a championship, and you need fantasy points to do that. So, Jerry Jeudy, pick number 7. This is a range where, again, you know, we feel like you can almost take anyone, and I like Jeudy quite a bit here. Ricky, where are you at?
I think that's the safest pick of the guys left. You making that pick really just put me in a scramble, because that means I have to decide between some backs in spots that I'm not overly excited about. Like, I think the Cam Akers landing spot was fine, but remember, the Rams traded up for Daryl Henderson, so I'm not sure that Cam Akers is a lock to step in there and be, like, the number one guy. I think Henderson probably is a best fit as, like, a complementary piece. We've seen running backs go to the Detroit Lions, so DeAndre Swift, I'm concerned about him. I mean, Kerryon Johnson was a guy they just took highly. It's just not a great system around him. So I think he is one of the best running back talents of this draft, if not number one. But that's a tough landing spot. So I think because you took Judy and started the run on the receivers, I'm not overly enthused about where these guys landed, even though before the draft I definitely would have taken DeAndre Swift over a bunch of these receivers. I think I'm going Jalen Reagor here with his landing spot with the Eagles. Because, I mean, they've got a bunch of aging guys, right? Like, Alshon Jeffrey might just be dust. DeSean Jackson is 33. He was the guy who I thought was going to be the main competition. But them drafting a speed receiver makes me think that if DeSean Jackson's not done already, I mean, I think this is probably his last year, and then Reagor takes over. So I don't think it should be long until he's a factor. He's got a great quarterback to work with, although it was puzzling that they took Jalen Hurts. Another spot where they had a lot of holes to fill, and they took a quarterback instead, sort of like Green Bay. So I'm not 100% sure what they were doing there, whether Carson Wentz is going to be on the move slowly or soon in his career or what. But I think Reagor just has a clear path to some playing time. Plus, I mean, he's just an explosive guy. If we're talking best ball leagues, he is a great guy to have because of his speed, and he was thrown so many uncatchable balls in college that we don't really know how good he can be. All of a sudden you give Carson Wentz, who had, you know, some chemistry with DeSean Jackson, and when DeSean Jackson was healthy, you saw a bunch of big plays. I see a lot of that with Reagor, so I'm kind of excited about him. So I'm taking him over the backs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that will be uncommon. You know, I don't think that Reagor is going to go over DeAndre Swift very often, but I totally get it. I was talking to Drew earlier, and I basically said, like, you know, if there were 32 teams and I got to go put DeAndre Swift on one of those teams, I might have chosen the Detroit Lions as like one of the last five teams to put him on. You know, don't put him on the Panthers, don't put him on the Cowboys. But of the teams that, you know, don't already have a running back locked in to the top, I think that's definitely a situation where you would not want your prized prospect to land. So we are now here at pick number 9, Pacheco. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking Henry Ruggs the 3rd. And you know, do I feel great about it? No, to be quite honest, I am, Davis, I'm a little bit concerned about his overall college production. I you know, he was highly efficient. Obviously, his speed is insane. I mean, it's certainly, a closer comp to Tyreek Hill, if there ever was one. And you could probably chalk up the college production to the fact that there was just a lot of competition in Alabama, so he wasn't going to stand out the most. But then you look at Jerry Judy's production, and it just, you know, it's a little bit better all around. And so I'm concerned about that aspect of it. But the Raiders selected him as the first wide receiver to come off the board in the draft, I thought was a little bit puzzling. But clearly they like the guy. I think he has a path to volume, whether it's now or in the future with this organization. It's not a great organization to play with. Certainly not, you know, not a great head coach, not a great quarterback. But I really do like his speed, and I like the opportunity. And that's good enough for me here at number 9.
I mean, I think the Raiders have been searching for a wide receiver one. You know, they tried to do it with Tyrell last year. It didn't really work. You know, they tried to do it with Antonio Brown. It was pretty clear they were always going to use their first selection in the 2020 draft on a wide receiver. They chose to use it on Henry Ruggs. I might not like the player that much. I definitely think that you have to like the situation. You know, even if Mariota takes over, you know, even if Derek Carr is not that good, whatever, I still think that you definitely have to argue that it is a better than neutral situation for Ruggs, just based off of, you know, he is just going to right away walk into good volume in this offense. And I don't know if you can say that for Justin Jefferson, Denzel Mims, Brandon Ayuk. You know, some of those guys are just not going to be in great situations as it pertains to volume. So I am now up with the 10th selection in this draft. I am not particularly, I am not debating this pick. This one is pretty easy to me. I think this is where we get a tier break. That's going to be maybe a controversial statement because people really like Keyshawn Vaughn. I don't think Keyshawn Vaughn is necessarily in this tier of players. Ricky, I'm going to take Cam Akers, who I think is pretty much just going to walk in to the Rams offense and be their starting running back right away. I think that if Daryl Henderson was going to be used, there were a lot of opportunities for him to be used last year. It never really seemed to happen. Seemed like he didn't understand the scheme all that well. Seemed like maybe he just is not. And maybe it ends up being 50-50 Akers and Daryl Henderson this year. But that's sort of like a best-case scenario for Henderson. I don't think that the team would be spending this pick on Cam Akers if they believed in Daryl Henderson. They're signing undrafted free agent running backs. You know, they're not going in this direction. So Akers, a player I loved coming out of Florida State, good running back, very good pass catcher. I basically think that he can do what Gurley did, you know, and just replace that without them skipping much of a beat. So I think Akers at 110, pretty big deal for Cam Akers, basically, Ricky.
Yeah, I think I would be taking Akers over Swift because of landing spot, no question. And this just comes down to the fact that I'm willing to give Pacheco the biggest slam dunk of the entire draft and let DeAndre Swift fall to him, because I really don't believe in the Lions as a running back system.
Yeah, this is the latest that Swift is ever going to go, but I think this, like, all three of us just are not huge on him and not huge on that situation.
And I disagree with your Justin Jefferson assessment in the sense that I think year one, he has the most guaranteed volume of any of these rookie wide receivers. That's including Jalen Reagor. That's including CeeDee Lamb. That's Jerry Judy's the one who's going to be a starting receiver in two wide receiver sets as well. But Justin Jefferson is a pure, he's a pure possession receiver. And that's what they lost in Stephon Diggs. I mean, Stephon Diggs, 149 targets, 2018, almost 100 last year. He missed a game in both seasons. And he had over 1,000 yards in each, and they're trying to replace that. And Justin Jefferson, a guy who caught 111 passes. Now, I know he was playing in a historically incredible offense, and I'm not even going to go into the touchdowns because I think a lot of that was Joe Burrow. But Adam Thielen's 30 years old. I mean, Irv Smith is pretty much unproven. I think they clearly need a secondary receiver. It was strange they took Jefferson, who does a lot of the same things that Thielen does, but I don't think Thielen has too much time left. And we've seen two receivers, thrive in this system. I mean, even with only 94 targets last year, you saw 1,130 yards from Diggs. So even if you only expect about 80% of that, that's still a pretty damn good rookie season. I think, with some touchdown volatility, he could get you close to double-digit touchdowns if they start looking to him more in the red zone than some of the other guys. And I think Jefferson, if we were drafting just a seasonal league in terms of rookies, just playing for 2020, he has to be one of the first receiver picks. The fact that he's lasted to the double digits, I feel good about that. So I'm passing on DeAndre Swift, but I'm just not a DeAndre Swift guy. If he was the guy I thought was best available, I'd try and trade down a spot. I like Jefferson here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is pretty reasonable. Justin Jefferson very likely to still be fantasy viable in 6 years or whatever, whereas just we do not see those kinds of hit rates long term with running backs. So Pacheco, you are now on the clock with the 12th pick in this draft. What direction are we heading here?
Well, I feel like at this point I am getting pretty good value on DeAndre Swift, and that's going to be my selection here. Look, you guys have already stated why you don't like him. Obviously, the landing spot is just not great, and that in and of itself makes it a little bit more murky for this guy. But let's just look at the numbers here through his college career: 6.6 yards per carry through 440 carries. So he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear, because he had to play for Georgia, and in Georgia, they always have a bunch of running backs. So doesn't have like insane volume, but still has 6.6 yards per carry, scored 20 rushing touchdowns throughout his career, and had 73 catches, which is obviously the biggest asset for him when I look at him as a fantasy prospect. And I think that's where he really makes his money. And I think that's where he's going to be able to come into this offense in Detroit and provide immediate value. So I don't like the landing spot, but I do think his, like, if he ends up having like a third down role per se, I could see him still be productive because he's going to be catching passes, and that's his main skill set. So I do feel like I'm getting good value taking DeAndre Swift number 12 here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you are getting fantastic value. You know, there are going to be drafts where Swift goes ahead of Jonathan Taylor, maybe where he goes ahead of Burrow, like, because people really like DeAndre Swift. You know, he was a big-time college player. He was, you know, a big, highly touted recruit and all of that stuff. So, you know, I just think that this is going to be, you know, one of the best value selections. So we are now to pick 13, and, you know, you can start making a case about anyone here. And again, this is going to be maybe not super reflective of reality, because in all the drafts that we do, someone is going to really like Keyshawn Vaughn. You know, they're going to think he was a really good player. They're going to think the Tampa Bay situation is great. So he's always going to go really early. And maybe he will be great. You know, maybe he will score a ton of points over the near term. I kind of doubt it. You know, I kind of think that Dare Ogunbowale and Ronald Jones are still going to be playing some sort of a role in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And I think there's a lot of risks with Tampa Bay. So first, your risk with Vaughn would be, well, maybe he's not that good. You know, maybe a guy who played at Illinois and then transferred to Vanderbilt, maybe not a stud running back. Not that those things really matter. Maybe Tom Brady is closer to being not good than being good. So you compound those two things in. And then maybe he does not play as much as we think that he's going to play. And then if you compound, maybe we say all of those things are like a 10% risk, and then you compound all of those risks together, I think you get a much more risky profile with him than you anticipate, right? Like, I think that a lot of people are going to be super bullish on him, and they'll acknowledge the risk, but they will not acknowledge the compound element of those risks, where all of them could be true to some extent. So I'm taking Keyshawn Vaughn, 13th overall. That's the first pick of the second round. I expect he's going to go much higher than this. I expect Swift and Vaughn are going to go much higher than this. And I think part of the reason why we're taking these wide receivers earlier is that, yeah, long-term, these wide receivers are going to have better value than the running backs. But when you're sitting there looking at your fantasy football teams, you're like, wow, who is going to score points for me at running back this year? I got to take Keyshawn Vaughn. I got to take J.K. Dobbins. I got to take Cam Akers instead of Justin Jefferson or Jalen Reagor. You know, that's just kind of the way it goes, Ricky.
Yeah, when you draft like the way that you and a bunch of our league mates do, you have those decisions. When I'm sitting there loaded at running back and needing receivers, I can use pick 14 to get better in the future while having some stability at running back. And if I'm taking Joe Burrow, I want to pair him with T. Higgins, even though I have some serious concerns about that Bengals offensive line long term. And T. Higgins was not my favorite prospect. I think most people by now, if you needed a quarterback, you didn't want to pay for Burrow or Tua, you know, would be willing to make that move up to try and get Justin Herbert. But Herbert doesn't excite me too much. And I think Higgins had one of the best landing spots for guys who I was unsure of talent-wise. I mean, this is still a guy who scored double-digit touchdowns. You have an aging A.J. Green. Tyler Boyd's good. I think he's a good possession receiver, but I think Higgins will be a compliment. And he gets to play with a quarterback that'll be established for quite a long time. So I think T. Higgins is my pick at 14. I think Justin Herbert is like the logical pick in a super flex, because you would think, you know, the quarterback three would be gone by now. I just happen to think I like the top two quarterbacks much better. And if I'm solidified at all at quarterback, I'd rather take one of these excellent receivers than have to, you know, go with Herbert by default.
I'm actually fine with that decision. We are going to go ahead and head to break here.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Henry Aaron, incredible home run here, incredible player. And if people want to call him the home run king, I get that. And I have no problem with that, nor will I fight people about it at all. Henry Aaron never hit more than 47 in a season. So Henry Aaron also didn't have the travel schedule. I think you have to judge players in their era. And Henry Aaron from the 1950s and 60s into the early 70s, I would say the most consistent home run hitter. And I think that's the way you got to think of them, too.
The Sports Grid Network.
Line up, Leonard!
The Early Line.
The idea that Rob Gronkowski, A, it looks like he's coming out of retirement. B, he told the Patriots, much like he told the Patriots 2 years ago, Kevin, that I ain't playing with a quarterback that is not Tom Brady. And so a trade has been completed. Rob Gronkowski gets sent to the Tampa Bay Bucks along with a seventh-round pick for a fourth-round pick.
The Sports Grid Network. Game time decisions.
Social distancer. Yeah, hey, Jerry, yeah, hire a social distancer.
Exactly. Get on the boat. Go to an island.
Oh, and listen, Dak's not very accurate either with his long passes. You want a social distance? Just think about where Michael Gallup is and think about where the ball lands when Dak throws it deep to him down the field.
Yeah, he'll miss him by 3 feet, Trubisky by 8.
Yeah. There's your social distancing.
The Sports Grid Network. Pharrell.
Coast to coast!
People are constantly saying to me, why do you continue to put on these people from Pittsburgh on your programs? And I say, mind your own business. I will continue to talk to people from Pittsburgh until they finally put me in the ground or in a wall, like I put my parents in a wall in Mount Feminine, where I am from.
The Sports Grid Network.
All right, everyone, hello and welcome back from break. I am Davis Maddock, joined by Ricky Sanders and Christopher Pacheco as we run through our look at a 2020 Dynasty Superflex rookie mock draft. We have 14 picks off the board. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Burrow, Jonathan Taylor, CeeDee Lamb, J.K. Dobbins, Tua, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Reagor, Henry Ruggs, Cam Akers, Justin Jefferson, DeAndre Swift, Keyshawn Vaughn, T. Higgins goes off the board at 14, and we are now on to you with selection number 15, Pacheco.
I think it's Denzel Mims. Here's a guy that I really think could even sneak in into the first round. As far as volume is concerned, he's going to the Jets. The Jets wide receiving corps, I mean, their top wide receiver right now, if it's not Mims, is Breshad Perriman, who's a journeyman and is coming off his best season last year. I think Mims has as good of a shot of receiving, you know, wide receiver one type of volume than a lot of the receivers we've already talked about. So I love the volume. I think the college production here was pretty good, all things considered. It wasn't, you know, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, or anything like that. But at the spot that I'm getting him at the draft, I think this is good value. And I think you can make a great argument of drafting Denzel Mims over T. Higgins, who Ricky just selected the pick before me.
Yeah, so I think Denzel Mims is, you know, pretty likely to go earlier than this in most drafts. I think that he is fantastic. I think that it's probably a pretty good fit with him in New York because he's, I would expect, going to be one of these guys who is just going to go out and start his rookie year. You know, if he gets any kind of training camp at all, which, you know, that's something we haven't talked about yet, but these guys might be a little bit at a disadvantage because of, you know, the rookie wide receivers not being able to have training camps. But I like this pick. I am going to follow this pick up. We're just going to keep dissing Justin Herbert here. I am actually going to take LaVisca Chenault. I'm going to take him over Michael Pittman. I'm going to take him over Brandon Ayuk, over Bryan Edwards. I'm going Chenault because I think outside of Shark, the wide receiver room in Jacksonville is probably a little overrated. You know, guys like D.D. Westbrook, guys like Chris Conley, those are secondary players in the NFL. They don't really have a tight end. You know, Josh Oliver, Tyler Eifert, they're probably going to be trading away or just not using Leonard Fournette in the passing game near as much. I think there's a route for Chenault to be seeing like 120 targets by his second season in the NFL, Ricky.
Yeah, I think that's a fine pick. I would have been between him and Ayuk if I were you, but I just can't let Justin Herbert fall any further. I can't do it. I mean, we gotta be fair here. He's a quarterback in super flex leagues. I definitely would have been much more excited with the LaVisca Chenault than I am with Justin Herbert. But yep. What's there to say here? I mean, Herbert's still a guy who, 67% completion was just about his career best. He was a four-year, basically, starter. Started eight games in 2016 and 2017. 8.1 yards per attempt was fine. He's fine. I think he's fine. Tyrod Taylor, they're supposedly comfortable with him being the starter for you know, year one. I think if Tyrod's playing horrible, we obviously will see Justin Herbert step in. This could be a little bit of a longer-term project. If Tyrod Taylor has a good year, you could potentially see him starting for, you know, 2 years at the high end of it. But I think because he has a path to playing time and there's really no other quarterbacks, maybe other than Jordan Love, but I think his timeline is definitely more extended than Herbert's. But because Herbert has a path to playing time in a league where you can start two quarterbacks, just got to take him, even if I'm unexcited about it.
Yeah, I mean, he is going to get out there before Jalen Hurts. He's going to get out there before Jordan Love. You know, they probably are turning this franchise over to him by week four or five, assuming that he's proven himself to be competent in practice or anything like that. So you are now on the board with pick number 18, Pacheco.
Davis, I wanted to ask you if you think Chase Claypool is a reach here in this pick.
I do not. I think that his ADP is going to settle a lot lower than this. I think that he will be, even though I think it was a good landing spot, I think he got drafted higher than a lot of people expected him to be drafted. I just think that a lot of the times he is likely to go later than this, basically. I think that he will be selected rather... Probably in the third round. He'll probably be the first, second pick in the third round in a lot of drafts, I would think. Like, he'll probably be more in the AJ Dillon, KJ Hamler sort of range, basically.
And that does make a lot of sense, because I felt like selecting him here is a bit of a reach. Ultimately, I think once you get into these picks, it's a lot of feel and just trying to get your guys. And Chase Claypool is my guy. That's who I'm going to select here. I think I think the Steelers might not even pay Juju Smith-Schuster. I think he's a free agent after this season.
Wow, hot takes on the Daily Roto Hour on Sports Grid TV. That's a take, Pacheco.
Well, so there was an athletic writer that had mentioned that he predicts the Steelers will allow Juju to walk following this season. And you know, looking at Chase Claypool, he's a guy that just strikes me as a very much a potential wide receiver one. And thinking about that in Pittsburgh, who typically drafts or develops really good wide receivers, just makes me salivate. Look, as far as their quarterback outlook, who knows what's going to happen, right, after Big Ben retires. They just don't have good backups. That's really a big reason why they struggled last year, because once Big Ben went down, they had to rely on Mason Rudolph, and the offense was just horrific. But if they can get someone decent, the sky's the limit for Chase Claypool. I really, really like this guy.
Yeah, I mean, if things work out for Claypool, so like if Claypool proves himself to be an NFL caliber player, I completely agree with you, Pacheco. I think that he is, you know, just very clearly the archetype of a guy who, if he works out, he's going to be awesome. There are some questions with him, you know, age, is he best in the slot? Is he best outside? Yeah. You know, some stuff like that. So I like the selection. I think he's got a super high ceiling. So you know, no real issues with that selection for me. I am going to make a little bit of an off the board selection as well. I am going to take Antonio Gibson here. So he is the sort of the hybrid running back wide receiver for the for Washington. I am such a sucker for guys like this, guys who can do multiple things, guys who are really athletic. Like I am just always going to be in on guys like this. So I, at the 19th overall selection, after Chase Claypool goes, I am going to go with hybrid player Antonio Gibson.
So you're telling me when we have our dynasty baseball drafts, I should be crossing Shohei Ohtani and Brendan McKay off my board?
Yeah, yes. I'm like, yeah, 100%. Those are dudes. 100%. Very good read, Ricky.
There you go. So when we get to that point, I know not to draft the hybrid guys. I don't need a hybrid guy. I need a guy who fits the offensive system, and there might not be a better fit than Brendan Ayuk in San Francisco. You look at San Francisco last year in terms of these guys with yards after catch. You know, most of the yards after catch leaders are running backs. George Kittle, third in the entire NFL last year in yards after the catch, with 602. Debo Samuel, 13th with 473. And Brendan Ayuk, another guy who led the class in terms of, you know, the pro prospect receivers in yards after the catch. So it's pretty clear what the 49ers are trying to do. They're trying to run the football, and they're trying to complete short passes where they have guys who can create yardage beyond those. And Ayuk is just another guy who fits in there, and I think that fits the scheme of Jimmy Garoppolo very well. They are doing everything they can to make it back to the Super Bowl. I think that makes a ton of sense. I think there should be plenty of volume for Ayuk as a starting receiver with Emmanuel Sanders out of town. Now, how much volume there will be in general in this offense is questionable. But for a wide receiver too, you know, even on a low volume offense, I think there's enough to warrant picking him in the short term and in the long term, because I think this should just be a good offense every year.
Yeah, I this is going to be much later than when Brandon Ayuk normally goes. I think he will be, in most drafts, I think he will be one of the first 15 players selected, you know, a great majority of the time. All right, Pacheco, you are now on board with the 21st selection in our little fake Dynasty rookie mock draft here.
It's going to be Michael Pittman Jr., who landed with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, this is so late for him. He's going to go in the first round some of the times.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting pretty good value in this spot with Michael Pittman Jr. Had a great season last year in his senior year at USC. Scored double-digit touchdowns, had over 1,250 receiving yards. Also had 101 catches last year. So I feel really good about him. And most importantly, I feel really good about his landing spot, because I think he could very well start right away. He could start opposite to T.Y. Hilton, you know, early in the season. So I feel really good about this pick in this spot.
Yeah, I just probably an oversight by Ricky and I to allow you to get him there. I'm going to make a pick that I do not feel very good about here, because you know, I think that the value has gotten to the point where it needs to happen. But Bryan Edwards of the Oakland Raiders, pretty likely that he actually starts on day one. You know, very similar to Henry Ruggs. I think he is gonna. Ricky, I know you love Hunter Renfro. I think Bryan Edwards might beat him out for that, you know, that kind of possession slot role for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, just kind of a brutal run for me being a Hunter Renfro backer, with not only drafting one wide receiver early, they draft two. So I'm hoping Renfro's still your guy long term in three receiver sets, but his projected volume numbers have certainly gone down. So did not love that landing spot for Edwards. I actually was going to take Edwards there, and because he's gone, the guys I have best left on my board are like the QB project guys and Jordan Love and Eason. And I'm just not really ready to take the shot on them. So I'm just going to make the homer pick. And the guy that I think was the clear top landing spot amongst tight ends, that's Cole Kmet with the Chicago Bears. I mean, Jimmy Graham's on a two-year deal. Jimmy Graham could very well be done already. I mean, if the Bears realize early he's just got nothing left in the tank, I know this is a Bears roster with 10 tight ends on it at the moment. They're obviously going to cut that down. Cole Kmet wasn't a guy whose skill set I was overly excited about, but I think they drafted him to be their starter of the future. Jimmy Graham doesn't have much left. I don't have any faith in any of the other tight ends on the roster. I mean, Trey Burton was the only one I thought had, you know, any upside whatsoever. So I think in the near future, we could be talking about volume for Cole Kmet. I still think he should see his fair share of targets year one. So there are certainly other guys we could go with here. I could have taken Jordan Love. I just don't want to wait that long for a quarterback, so I'm taking a tight end.
Yeah, I certainly do not have any problem with the selection of Cole Kmet here. You are getting a great ceiling for what you are putting in. So Pacheco, you are now going to be up here with the 24th selection.
Yeah, and I think the safest pick here is probably Zach Moss, isn't it? I mean, here's a guy that's probably going to slide right into a goal line role for the Buffalo Bills. And that's like, you know, that's like expected, in my opinion. Devin Singletary just wasn't able to be that guy. And frankly, you know, if in the future, if you told me Zach Moss just beat him outright for touches, it wouldn't surprise me either. So I feel like I'm getting a pretty safe pick here in Zach Moss at pick number 24.
Yeah, I think that Zach Moss is somehow going to end up giving loads of production at these selections. And, you know, it's like people are going to way overdraft Keyshawn Vaughn. People are going to way overdraft, you know, some of these guys who are going to provide immediate production. And it really would not surprise me if we end up in a scenario where Zach Moss is like the 29th highest scoring fantasy running back in 2020, and all these people are they're gonna have played themselves not taking the Zach Moss point. So let's all real quick here make one last selection. This is super flex. I'm here at 25. I'm taking my boy Jalen Hurts. No, he's probably not gonna play in his rookie year much for Philadelphia. Still, I think his ceiling long term, Ricky, absolutely sky high. Feel very good about selecting Jalen Hurts here.
As you should. I'm going to take the slot receiver for the Denver Broncos, KJ Hamler. I know we got some two awesome receivers there on the outside. You got Noah Fant, but I think it's a pretty good landing spot and a good chance that we see a decent amount of snaps from day one from him. I just don't want the project quarterback, so I'm taking Hamler.
Yeah. Hamler is like such an interesting guy. I think if he works out, he is going to have, you know, a wild amount of value. But guys like him do not work out at a super high rate. So 26, pretty appropriate value for him. Pacheco, go ahead and make the 27th and final pick of our mock draft.
God, I hate it. I hate it so much. There's a super flex league, and we can start up to two quarterbacks. Jordan Love, who's probably going to be the successor to Aaron Rodgers, is probably the guy here. I don't love it, but I think the Packers pretty much sealed Rodgers' fate here as far as the future is concerned. Jordan Love is the future. When Aaron Rodgers' contract is up, I'm assuming he's going to be their starter.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan Love, I mean, I don't love the pick, right? I don't think he's going to be very good. But you select a quarterback with a first-round pick, that dude is going to be seeing playing time for you. So very quickly, our draft went Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Joe Burrow, John Taylor, CeeDee Lamb, J.K. Dobbins, Tua, Rager, Ruggs, Akers, Jefferson, Swift, Vaughn, Higgins, Mims, Chenault, Herbert, Claypool, Gibson, Ayuk, Pittman, Edwards, Cole Kmet, Zach Moss, Jalen Hurts, KJ Hamler, Jordan Love. There is going to be loads more discussion about this rookie class in the Daily Roto Hour, you know, over the coming weeks. I'm sure over the coming months, we are going to discuss these rookies absolutely to death because, you know, we don't know what else there is going to be to talk about. So everyone, thank you very much for listening to the Daily Roto Hour here on the Sports Grid Network. This has been Davis Maddock, Ricky Sanders, and Christopher Pacheco. We will be back tomorrow with even more content for you guys.
The morning after.
To me, the Browns were always a pivot team in this draft, meaning I don't know who's going to be there at 10 if an offensive lineman that they covet will be there at 10. Mekhi Becton is one of the guys I've heard that they've really liked. I heard he could be gone by the fifth pick. The plan for Cleveland was always to take an offensive tackle because that was something that was desperately needed. They signed Jack Conklin from Tennessee. He's probably going to play left tackle. They still need a right tackle.
The Sports Grid Network. Pharrell.
Coast to coast!
Mario Lemieux was so good that when you would watch him, you would actually break out laughing because it was so ridiculous that anybody could be that much better than anybody else on the ice. I've never seen a football player do it, a baseball player do it, and definitely not a hockey player do it. And by the way, I always say, because they came into the league, that came around at the same time, Michael Jordan was the Mario Lemieux of the NBA.
The Sports Grid Network. Game time decisions.
We talked about line movement on the shows, but I just want to throw one at you. I'm on a lot of different books, you know. I got Jacksonville and Tua at 20-1 because I thought there might be some trades. On my books, they're now 4-1. It's weird. I guess they're expecting on some books they want to have a little bit of safety there, but that number should not be going down from like 20-4. Like, that's insanity.
I don't know. Maybe one of the odds makers knows something nobody else knows.
The Sports Grid Network.
Line up, Leonard!
The Early Line.
Everybody is in Skype, Zoom kind of, you know, times.
Yeah.
What GM do you think is going to have weird mishap happen?
You know,
like a dog barking in the background,
yeah, right.
Or like, you know, a child walking around in their underwear. No, it's going to happen, okay? I heard yesterday that they did a kind of trial run, and they had all sorts of technical glitches.
The Sports Grid Network.